We didn't actually go into the book at that time. As a startup, I wanted to look at the life of King Solomon, who wrote the book. Unlike any other book in the Bible, to get a good understanding of the book of Ecclesiastes, you have to know the writer. All others, it's good to know who wrote it. Some of them are still arguing about which book who wrote. But this particular one, I made it very easy for myself to understand the writings of King Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes after learning about himself. So we covered quite a bit about last time, so I won't repeat time. But he was a man who lived on this face of this earth apart from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Apart from the Lord Jesus Christ himself, there is no other human being on the earth who lived a life like King Solomon. Both in his knowledge, his wisdom, his understanding, his desire to serve the Lord, his worship, his character, his knowledge about his people, people's knowledge about him, his knowledge about the Lord himself, and his humble request to the Lord that he may have the wisdom to rule the people of God. We looked also that he knew people of God belongs to him and God alone. And therefore Solomon took it very seriously, the ruling the people of God. That is probably one of the most important characteristics of any spiritual leaders on this earth. To know who the people of God are, that they belong to the Lord and they can be ruled by the people of spiritual leaders of the churches, only knowing that the people of God belongs to him. So this morning we are going to go right into the book itself. We will probably cover the first 18 verses of chapter 1. Now before I get to that, this week was a very rough week for us. We had our three boys with us. My history in my life is almost blank for 1 week. Okay? And while I was coming up, my son Evan said, Appacha, I want you to take my Bible and go preach from here. So I have my one extra Bible here. So let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. As I normally like to do, we will read verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 18. I'm going to be reading from the new King James Version for the purpose of reading only, then I'll go back to my old version. Chapter 1, verse 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? One generation passes away and another generation comes. But the earth abides forever. The sun also arises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it arose. The wind goes toward the south and turns around to the north. The wind whirls about continually and comes again on its circuit. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place from which the rivers come, there they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with the hearing. That which has been is that will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new? It has already been in ancient times before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of things that are to come. But those who will come after, I, the preacher, he's changing a subject, slightly different here, was king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I set my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all that is done under heaven. This burdensome task God has given to the sons of men, by which they may be exercised. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed, all is vanity and grasping for the wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be numbered. I commune with my heart, saying, look, I have attained greatness and have gained more wisdom than all who ever were before me in Jerusalem. My heart has understood great wisdom and knowledge, and I set my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also is grasping for the wind. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. Now, it's important, like I said, to know this is King Solomon speaking. We will, before we go into the verse that we read together, I want to give you a very brief outlook of the book. We will be looking together, Lord willing, in the future times that I am up here. The book can be, actually, the two sections of the book can be divided, as we looked at, is the first 12 chapters to the last two words, except for the last two verses, everything King Solomon is talking about under the sun. Thank you, brother. Under the sun. Then he comes to the last two verses. He takes us above the sun that thinks concerning God himself. So there are two sections. If you want to like that division, there are two sections. But in the first section, there are 11 major themes that Solomon is trying to bring. 11 major themes of everyday life. If the Lord doesn't come soon, we will probably go through some of them. First one is in chapter 1, verse 12 through 18, vanity of intellectual pursuit. That's what we're going to look at this morning, the vanity of intellectual pursuit. And chapter 2 is vanity of pleasure, prestige, and affluence. In chapter 3, he is vanity of cycle of life and death. In chapter 4 is vanity of life's inequalities that we see all around us. Vanity of popular religion and politics in chapter 5. And vanity of passing riches in chapter 5, verse 10 to 6, 12. Then he takes us to a different turn and brings another subject. He gives us an advice to live a life knowing these six different themes that he brought to us. How do we live our life? So he says, he advises for the sun under the life under the sun is in chapter 7. Man cannot fathom the plan of God. The good and better under the sun cannot be understood, according to him, as in chapter 7. Man's puzzle of divine retribution, reward or punishment, is not understood by him, verse 8, chapter 8. Man does not know what will happen in chapter 9 and part of chapter 10. And finally, he takes us and says, Solomon's solid advice in life is spreading the good under the sun in chapter 11. And then he comes to an epilogue of Solomon's final advice in two statements, which we will come to that later on, Lord willing. So that will be the last two verses of the book. He has a great advice that is knowing all these, how we ought to live our life. So let's briefly look at chapter 1 this morning. We will go through some of the verses, verse by verse. Some others we will probably skip for a time purpose. As you read the first two verses itself, Solomon comes right into the answer at the very very first step itself. When I was looking at it, he comes and outright and says, vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. His conclusion of his understanding, his research, his knowledge, his wisdom, he brings out immediately right after introducing himself. When I was reading this, just a side thought, passing thought came to my mind. Sometimes people can preach for an hour or write an entire book. After the end of the day, you will say, what did he just say? You don't understand what he says. You don't get the point. You don't even understand after reading the whole book what he's trying to say. But here, Solomon is getting right into the point in verse 2 itself. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher. Now, while we are going through this, even today or in the future, please do not forget who is the person who wrote this. If George P. John has written this, you all can sit around and laugh, perhaps. But Solomon, king of Israel, who had the greatest wisdom, the richest man on ever lived on earth. And he is the one who is talking. Solomon's research found at the very end of his life. And I believe he wrote this book towards the very end when he was an old man. He says that life is transitory, fleeting, useless, empty and futile. Is that true? Yes or no? Yes. Yes, it is. If death draws a final curtain on our life, on a human life, that is very true. Human existence, if it ends with the death, the life is nothing but a vapor. That is what Solomon says. But Paul says in chapter Romans chapter 8, verse 20, that the whole creation was subject to vanity as the result of sin entering in the entrance of the sin. The whole human kind entered into vanity as the result of the entrance of sin. And therefore, what Solomon says here is very, very true. What is the meaning of the word vanity? The word vanity means a state of a vain, empty, destitute of reality. That's what the meaning of, if you look in the dictionary, that's what it will tell you. Initially, he talks about only things under heaven or under the sun. We read that repeatedly a couple of times. He says in verse 3 that man works for money, right? Man works for money. He uses the money to buy food. He eat the food to get the strength. And he goes back to work again. And he earns the money. And that is what Solomon is saying here. And the cycle goes on. Isn't that true? Almost every one of us are experiencing this. We work, we earn money, we buy food, we eat, we get strength, use the strength and go back to work again. And the cycle goes on. And that's what Solomon says almost 3,000 years ago. A story goes like this. There was a lady standing by the bus stand, waiting for the bus, and she was crying. A Christian brother was standing by, and he went to her and asked, may I help you somehow? And this is what she said. Oh, yes, she replied. I am just a very bored person. My husband is a hard worker, but he does not earn as much as I want for my life. So I went to work myself. I get up early in the morning, fix breakfast for my 4 children, pack them lunch, and take a bus to my job, work all day long, then I return home more drudgery, a few hours of sleep, and another day just like the one before. And she said, I guess I am just as sick of this endless routine. Have you been there before? Look at our life. And Solomon said, this is simply a life of vanity, of cycle of routines. And I'm not saying don't do all this. That's not Solomon said either. He's bringing us to a point, making man to think where we are and what our life is all about. And verse 4 to 11, as we read together, Solomon is making man to think and learn from what he is going to write. If this is all the end of the story and the life is, we would probably will be the most miserable people on earth, right? If this is life begins and end, we are at the end, the curtain goes, we are done with it, we are really done. That is not the end of the story. Praise the Lord. But we also begin to think as we read this, the things that he is writing about the earth and the things that are around the creation itself, we could come to a conclusion. Apart from revelation, listen carefully, apart from revelation, we might think that the present earth will last forever. According to Solomon's writing, he says it's a cycle, it goes on and on and on and forever. But no, but it's not. Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 10 that the earth will pass away and the elements will melt with fervent heat. This earth that we are living in here today, it will pass away, it will melt into ashes, a new heaven and a new earth will come. Now, I used to enjoy visiting places, looking at large buildings, waterfalls and all natural things. I used to enjoy very much. I still do enjoy it to some extent. But recently, it's been quite some time, When I look at something that is, everybody say, oh, wow, awesome. The very first thought crosses my mind is, waiting for the fire. Anything that you and I think that is awesome in this world. I never been to the Grand Canyon. I like to go one day. But even that is waiting for the fire. Everything that you think is great and magnificent in our life is waiting for the fire. And Peter says, it will pass away, the elements will melt and ferment with a fervent heat. Then he comes a little detail into the creation itself, verse 4 to 7. He says in verse 4, one generation passeth away and another generation comes, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also arises, the sun goes down and hasteth to his place where he arose. Now, this statement or this usage of this word statement, sun arises and sun goes down, as science says, no, sun doesn't get up or sun doesn't go down. The earth is that's going on, going around. So Solomon is not contradicting science here. He's simply using a common use that even today everybody uses. The scientists also use the same thing. They say the sun rises and the sun goes down. It doesn't mean that sun is going in circle. It just simply means the earth is going in circle. But that's what exactly Solomon saying, that sun rises and he goes down. And he goes back to where he came from. And the wind goes toward the south and turneth about into the north. It whirls around continually and the wind returned again according to circuits. Well, very common known factors of life that Solomon is bringing. The rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place where the rivers come, there they return again. All the rivers of the earth is running, ending in the sea. But the sea is never full because it constantly evaporates and the fumes goes over and goes back to the earth and rains, and the river continues, the cycle continues. Therefore, the earth never, or the sea never get full. Can you understand, can you think about this man's knowledge that God gave him and wisdom that he is talking about? Verse 8 actually, all things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The eye is never satisfied with seeing. How much more new things can I see? Then your eye is still longing to see something. If that is true, Brother Alexander will be out of work. He has a work that says, helping people to take vacation, right, brother? If I don't go to vacations and not looking for seeing new things, he will be out of work. Eye is never satisfied. We hear new things every day. We want to hear more things. Apostle Paul says he was preaching there in the mount of, he went to preach and people were sitting there and they were the people who characterized as the people who wants to hear new things all the time, we read. People have not changed. Even today, every one of us love to hear new things, love to see new things. That's what he's saying here. Verse 9, and these things that has been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which is to be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Listen carefully. Solomon says, there is no new things under the heaven. How about the spaceship? Man went to the moon. Isn't that new? Come on, you can answer me. Yes or no? No, it is not new. Enoch and Elijah were taken with the body into the space even without oxygen mask. So there's nothing new. Man just copied. Aeroplanes and other things that you see that the birds take fly before any aeroplane ever came. And some of the turns and twists that the birds do, no airplane can do. Doesn't matter. There's no new thing under earth. I used to work for a semiconductor company for 29 years. Every single day I go to work, it marvels my mind what man can invent. But what is it made of? Every computer chip that we manufacture, every computer chip that goes into everything that you have in your home and these things that you have carry with you, the very fundamental basic property of what is made in the chip is silicon. What is silicon? Silicon is sand in its pure nature. The most purified sand is called silicon, and by all that is made of silicon. Nothing new. Man just invented it. He just found out that characteristics were already existing. So therefore, Solomon is right. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? Answer is no. It hath been already old time, which was before us. God has put everything on this earth, whether man found out it or not. Then he takes a turn and says, I, the preacher, verse 12, set my heart to search out by wisdom and concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. He said, I have the knowledge, I have the wisdom which God has given, I have the money, I have the richness, I have everything that God has given. There was no richer man than King Solomon. We referred to last time the amount of food that he has for one day, the amount of gold that was used in his home. He had a vacation home in Lebanon, outside of his palace. His throne was built of gold with the 12 steps, and then he sits on it. Its entire thing was covered with pure gold. And such a man, I looked at life and said, all the works that are done under the sun, all is vanity. Sometimes I think if I had a nicer home or a nicer better things or a nicer place or a better vacation home or go around the world 7 times and see everything, but I will never be satisfied. And he says, all is vanity and vexation of spirits. The sun rises, the sun goes down. The wind comes, the wind goes on. The river runs, it continues. And verse 8, he says, there is no satisfaction for man. I don't know about you. I cannot judge your heart. I know it is true about me. Never satisfied. One of the principles that I learned from the scriptures in a general sense is, the Lord wants us to be satisfied with what we have. The problem with the mankind in general is they are never satisfied. That is what Solomon says. But as Christians, a principle that throughout run through the scriptures is, if you are not satisfied with what you have been given, doesn't matter what it is, how small or how great thing it is, whatever God has given to you, if you are not satisfied with it, He will not take you to the next step. I can almost guarantee from many, many examples. Whatever that is given to you, if you are not faithful to it, if you are not satisfied with it, He will not take you to the next level of blessing from God. You may get many other things. You may grasp a lot of things. I'm not talking about that. The blessing that comes from God, it is based on the satisfaction and the use of it for the glory of God. Then He will take you to the next level. I have seen throughout the scripture that has happened. Go back and read the book. We can see that happens. Man is never satisfied, says Solomon. Then he goes on to say that verse 11. Let's go back to 11 for a moment. There is no remembrance of former things. There is no remembrance of former things. How many of you remember 4 or 5 generations back behind you? Anybody? I can probably think of maybe 1 or 2. Beyond that, you won't remember how close they are in your life. Generation comes, generation goes. Nobody remembers the previous generation. Maybe 1 or 2 at the most. Man forgets, and the history continues constantly and repeating itself. And in verse 11 on, Solomon says, therefore, because of these things, Solomon says, God put eternity in man's mind. God put eternity in man's mind. Every human being on this earth Whether they are Christians or non-Christians, even if they are atheists, they so-called, they have a thought about the future in their mind. Every man thinks about eternity. And long-time goals and plans and purposes is part of that. Every single man thinks about the future. And nobody remembers the previous generation. So he put eternity in man's heart. Therefore, man always thinks forever. And even today, when we are in the presence of God, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, our thought should be always the future that is yet to come. The eternity that God has put in our hearts. Thank God that there is a day that I was able to understand the eternity, that the eternal life that God can put in my heart while I was an 11-year-old boy and took him in and said yes to Christ. As we know, as we read this book, as Reed was reading this chapter, I understood myself. Oh Lord, how much little I know. How little I know. There are many people who know a lot more than you and I do. But even then, they cannot look and say, I know everything. Solomon, after all this, he says, I knew very little. How much little I know, he says. And I just want you to turn about Solomon, one reminder in 1 Kings chapter 10. I will read it for you, 1 Kings chapter 10. What kind of person is this? He's writing all this. Chapter 10, I'm going to read a few verses beginning from 14. Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year were 603 talents of gold. That's every year. Beside that, he had of the merchantmen and the traffic of the spice merchants and all the kings of Arabia and of the governors of the country. And King Solomon made 200 targets of beaten gold, 600 shekels of bent in one target. And he made 300 shields of beaten gold, 3 pounds of gold went into one shield. And the king put them in the house of the forest in Lebanon. That's his vacation house, not his king, his palace. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with the best gold. The throne had 6 steps, and the top of the throne was round behind, and there were stays on either side of the place of the seat, and 2 lions stood beside the stays. And 12 lions stood there on the one side, and on the other upon the 6 steps. There was not the like made in any kingdom, the throne that he had. And all King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold. And all the vessels of house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None were of silver. It was nothing accounted in the days of Solomon. For the king had at sea a navy of Tarshish with the navy of Hiram. Once in 3 years came the navy of Tarshish bringing gold and silver, ivory and apes and peacocks. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God has put in his heart. Now this man turns around and tells me, George, all is vanity. God has put eternity in our hearts. We know very little. We understand very little. The cycle of life goes on. But at the very end, he doesn't leave us in that dark spot. We will come to that later on, but I want to take you to that verse at this moment. The last chapter and last 2 verses. What is his conclusion? What is his advice to you for me? Yes, all that we looked so far, it is true. And we cannot argue it because we live and see this every single day in our life. Chapter 12, verse 13. Listen to Solomon. Again, think of the man whom I am talking about. Let us hear the whole conclusion of man, of matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. Listen. With every secret thing. Whether it be good or whether it be evil. The whole duty of man, the very purpose of creation, of God's creation, man, is to know God, to worship Him, to serve Him, and keep His commandments. And we know He failed. But you and I are given, as redeemed children of God, an opportunity to fulfill the purpose of God as a creator. As a creation, not only as a creator, but also as a redeemer, as a God of our life, that we have been given the choice to choose between these and to know. Let us hear the whole conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. I have probably spoken on this subject before. One of the most lacking things among God's people today is lack of fear of God. When you walk into this room, how much God, fear of God is in you, in me? People have lost the fear of God. The way they live their life, the language they use, the lifestyle they choose, absolutely has lost the fear of God. And Solomon says the conclusion of the whole matter is, fear God. Not only doesn't end there. He says, keep His commandments. Most people have put this book on their shelves. I would say majority that I know, even Christians, even assembly people that I know, some of them at least, this is sitting on the shelf. Monday through Saturday morning, or Sunday afternoon through Sunday morning, and go dust off and bring it to church. Solomon says, keep His commandments. For this is man's all, meaning more man's all duty. You and I are brought with a precious price, redeemed, brought back to the original plan of God's plan and purpose, that we may do this. Where do I stand? Where do you stand? I do not know about you. I don't know. I know about myself. But don't forget when you leave this room, what Solomon has to say, all is vanity under the sun. Until you rise above the sun and think of this and fear God and keep His commandments, shall we pray? Our Father, we thank You this morning. We pray that You may speak to my heart first and every one of ours. We know this world is simply passing by. We are simply strangers and pilgrims here. As we are reminded by Solomon, Lord, we know that this is true. Life circle comes and goes. Generation comes and goes. The earth remains the same until it is taken away one day. But until then, that day, You have brought us to Your presence, to made us Your people, that we may live according to the purpose and plan of God for every human being on earth. May each one of us fulfill that in our own personal life and in our walk with Him and have a fear of God and to obey His commandments. Continue to be faithful to Him. We pray that we may continue to bless our time together. We give You thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. So I gave you 5 minutes away, so I'm going to, we'll take